You are listening to the Winning Edge podcast, where each week we have a conversation with a different member of the Winning Edge Business Networking Chapter located in Spring Hill, Florida.
Welcome to this episode of the Winning Edge podcast. I am your host for this episode, Chris Chambers, and I am here today with the opportunity to have a conversation with Mr. George Daniels. How you doing, George?
Doing well.
Good, man. Thank you for joining us for this episode.
Thanks for having me.
And George represents cellular sales. Is that right?
Correct.
Exclusive to Verizon.
Correct.
Yeah. And so what we want to do, we want to talk to you a little bit about just your story. Kind of, you've lived in a lot of different places throughout this country. So we want to talk about that a little bit. Talk about how you got into the profession, your business that you're in currently. And then also, you've got a long history, probably longer than anybody in our chapter in BNI. So we want to...
Because I'm old.
No, that's good. Again, I think it shows the power of BNI and the effectiveness that BNI certainly can have, really regardless of where you are in the country or the world for that matter. And so talk about that a little bit. And then I do want to, you'd mentioned in our last meeting, the importance of one-to-ones. And again, certainly with your history in BNI, I think there's some power in that. So if you could
Absolutely.
Speak to that a little bit. And then I want to ask you a little bit about kind of what are good referrals for you, you know, who you can help, who your ideal clients are, who we can listen for in our chapter to help get the right folks to you. And then as we always do, we'll end with a little rapid fire section. Okay. All right. So who is George Daniels?
George Daniels, that's really good. Who is George? George Daniels is a people person. So if anybody's ever read The Personality Tree, my personality trait is someone that just gets energized by being around people. So I love working with people, and been with my wife, Sally, for 40 years. So that says something. She hasn't killed me yet. A couple times close. George Daniels grew up all over the East Coast, literally from Boston to Fort Lauderdale, went to high school in four different states, was in the Merchant Marine for 3 years because I found out college wasn't maybe the best thing for me, then got back into college, graduated from East Carolina, ended up in Syracuse. That's where I met my wife, Sally. Sally and I got a job opportunity, moved to Dallas, Texas, lived in Texas for 10 years, decided we wanted to try out the West Coast, ended up in Seattle for a little bit, which turned into 30 years. After 30 years, we decided it's time to move back to the East Coast. That's where my family is. Sally's born and raised in Syracuse, and so did a lot of research, due diligence, and ended up here in Hudson, Florida. And we're loving it so far. We're in a gated 55-plus community with golf. And interest is we'd like to get better at playing golf, and so we are in a golf community. We both love to travel. We've hosted Japanese students. We've traveled Europe, Japan, a lot of different places. So
okay, yeah,
that's
George. I do want us to talk a little bit more about that in particular in just a moment, but I do want to go back. So you mentioned you grew up, went to school on the East Coast,
mm-hmm.
right? You mentioned graduating from East Carolina University, did a few years, took a break, mm-hmm. went back, finished. You got your bachelor's in.
I got a BS concentration in business, concentration in marketing. So BSBA,
okay.
Business Administration.
And you've used that degree really in that training throughout your entire career, right?
Yeah. As much as anybody uses their college degree in their chosen profession.
Understood.
You do, Chris. You are an attorney, so
well,
yes. Okay, good for you.
Well, political science was my undergrad, so okay. I don't do a whole lot of that other than, you know, kind of watching politics a little bit. But, yeah, I'm with you.
East Carolina was unique. We had a lot of retired business people that were professors, and mm-hmm. they all said the purpose of college is to teach you to learn, because we're not going to be able to teach you what really goes on in business. You're going to have to learn that yourself.
Yeah, and I would say from law school, similar, you know, they're not in a 3-year time frame. There's no way you're going to learn every single law that there is. And additionally, laws are always changing. Mm-hmm. And so that's exactly right. That basically taught us how to research and how to apply facts to the law, or the law to facts, and go from there. So yeah, you're absolutely right about that. Now, so you've lived, like you said, North Carolina. You lived in Philadelphia for a little bit. You worked on oil tankers. That was mm-hmm. the Merchant Marine you were talking about.
Yep.
Yeah. And then back to school. Finished school, and then you ended up in New York, in
Syracuse, New York.
And like you said, that's where you met your wife, Sally.
Uh-huh. She's born and raised there.
Okay. All right. So go ahead.
I was going to say, so we just met. It was a last...
Love at first sight?
Love at first sight.
Yeah.
We've been together since 19... Actually, we started dating in 1978, and we moved to Texas in 79.
Okay, all right. So you went out to Texas, and that was your first, like, sales job, outside sales job?
Well, my first outside sales job was Syracuse, because I graduated, got up there. And then outside sales in Texas, did a lot of different things. My wife laughingly says that, you know, I could open a... polo shirt shop with all the logos of all the different companies I've done.
So, okay.
Actually got my Texas broker's license in real estate.
Yep.
And then the whole thing collapsed in 86 when the SNL thing collapsed. And so we did a bunch. I've just picked the T-shirt. I've done
it. Yeah, I got
it. Okay, got it.
So then you you eventually found your way to the West Coast, up in Seattle, Washington.
Correct.
And in the mid '90s or so, as you started looking around, seeing that this the cell phone thing might actually take off, it started to take off. You kind of got in on the ground floor. Is that right?
Right. So if you think about the mid and late '90s, that was the dot-com boom. Everything was going on. I was in Seattle. Is huge technology. I mean, you've got Microsoft and Amazon and everything underneath the sun there. So I said, you know, I need to be a part of technology, and wireless industry looked very interesting. So that's what I got involved with, and I've been in it ever since. So
we're talking like 22 years now, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, when you got in, they actually were the cell phones. They no longer had like the car phones where they had the big pouches that you put in, right?
Actually, I was still selling back phones
still there?
When I got.
Right.
So with lead acid batteries, 6-watt phones, and there was only two carriers, one of the Baby Bells and AT&T. Literally, that was insane, probably here on the East Coast. Mm-hmm. So, and it's definitely grown up and morphed from there.
Okay. Now, in a few minutes, we're going to talk about BNI, because obviously I think that's played a large role kind of in your career. But before we do that, you did mention you like to travel, one of your interests. You like golf. You've only been able to play a couple times. I think since you've been down here, hopefully that will be able to increase here over the next few weeks and months. But travel is one of the things you mentioned. In fact, you got a trip planned to Greece here in the fall.
Yep.
Yeah. And that's just a place you've always wanted to visit, right?
You see all the islands and the history and everything else.
Kind of a bucket list thing for you.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But you've been to Japan multiple times.
Just once.
Now you actually hosted Japanese students, college students.
Mm-hmm.
You and your wife did for about 15 years while out in Seattle, right?
Mm-hmm.
How'd you get involved in that?
Just a neighbor was doing it, and it looked interesting, and so we checked into it and started hosting students through a hosting agency.
So they would come over from Japan. The purpose of going to school, they're going to be here for a year.
Mm-hmm.
While going to school, they would stay with you. Some of them would stay with you for the whole year.
Mm-hmm.
Others, maybe a few months.
Right.
They'd find an apartment or something.
They'd find an apartment, or they'd maybe they were more partiers, and so they found a group of students that partied more, so they would go find a house together.
Yeah.
It's just depending on their personality.
I got you. And so obviously this gives you an opportunity to interact with other cultures. Right?
Oh, yeah.
How much did you learn about the Japanese culture during that time?
A lot.
Yeah.
A lot. Because they would, you know, they're at your home. They're coming. Mm-hmm. You're having breakfast and dinner with them. They're there on the weekend when they're not out going doing stuff. So you would go do things with them. You'd take them different places. They'd bring students over we'd have them over for Thanksgiving, and they'd bring their friends in. And so... there was a lot of social interaction with them, so it was really good.
And almost nearly 20 students that you and your wife would have hosted there over that time, right? Now there was one situation where you went out in the park somewhere. You were mentioning there was a fire. What was that?
It was just funny, and you run into a lot of these types of situations because the Japanese are a very unique, closed type of society. That they do everything very regimented. So we were out Sunday in a park, big park, you know, and a typical Sunday in a park, and everybody was out there with their barbecues and their families and everything else, and there's a lot of fires going on from the, you know, the lighter fluid and the charcoal going and everything else, and Shogo was looking around, his eyes were huge, and he was going, is this legal? Because in Japan, you can't have a fire in a park, and very few Japanese even go to the park, so he was just amazed to see that, and their question all always is this legal?
Yeah.
Because a lot of things are legal in Japan, but culturally unacceptable. So you don't do these things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So after, at some point, you and your wife got an opportunity to go to Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And so you actually were able to kind of reconnect with some of those students.
Four
right?
of those students, yes.
Yeah. How was that? How was that?
It's fascinating. So then we get to go out to dinner with them and reconnect in their environment.
Right.
Yeah. And one of the students was from Hiroshima. And mm-hmm. if you've never been to Hiroshima, that's someplace that you really need to go.
Mm-hmm.
It's fascinating.
Yeah.
Maybe that's not the right word. But it's very interesting. And the interesting thing is that the Japanese, everybody was very warm and welcoming. And even the little students, the little kids are always coming up to you and asking you questions and such. So it's kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's not kind of fun. It was a lot of fun.
And you mentioned that, you and your wife do enjoy traveling. Is part of that enjoyment getting to experience other cultures and kind
Absolutely.
Of immerse yourself?
We never, when we travel, we do not stay at the Carlton downtown.
Mm-hmm.
When we've gone to Mexico several times, we never stayed in the like the American zones where
mm-hmm.
everything is sealed off. We always stay in the local hotels, get to know the local people,
local restaurants.
We never take the taxis.
Yeah.
We always take the buses.
Yeah.
Always go to the local places. It's so many. And then you get to meet people from all over the world
mm-hmm.
because they're visiting, and it's fascinating.
Yeah. So you moved here about 5 months ago,
mm-hmm.
six months next month,
uh-huh.
I guess, right?
Yep.
And you joined the Rotary Club.
Mm-hmm.
What drew you to the Rotary Club in particular?
Everywhere I've ever been, the Rotary is always heavily involved in the community, contributing to charities, doing a lot of functions to raise money, but they're always fun functions. I mean, they're just... they're always very engaged, involved people, and it's something I've always wanted to do. And so coming here, it's like I'm starting from scratch, and I need to start from scratch correct. And so you need to get involved in the community, give back to the community, and I know Rotary does that. So
yeah.
That's why I want to get involved.
Absolutely. And I did just want to mention, you are actually selling tickets. There's a pancake breakfast in
yep.
April.
April 18th.
$5 a ticket.
$5 a ticket. That gets you pancakes, sausage, the whole nine yards, coffee, and $2 goes to, it's going to be at Applebee's on County Line Road. $2 goes to Applebee's, and $3 goes to the Rotary, which we contribute to various scholarships and things of that nature, and money back into the community.
Excellent. So, yeah, if anyone looking for tickets, just get a hold of you and be
sure.
able to get them, hook them up for that, right?
Yep.
All right, very good. Now, your business, you've been in cellular sales for 22 years, sale of cellular
yes.
equipment, I should say.
Yes.
Now, in particular, you are working for cellular sales, 100%
mm-hmm.
commission-based
mm-hmm.
In your position. And like we said earlier, it is exclusive to Verizon. We already kind of talked about what it is that drew you to that business. What's kept you in that business?
The backbone of this country is small business.
Mm-hmm.
And small businesses, these guys start from scratch. Every small business owner to me is just a fascinating individual. The guts it takes to start a business, the guts it takes to keep that business running, the smarts. And so getting to work with, in my mind, the cream of the crop of this country, which is small business owners and the people that hold up their business,
mm-hmm.
The people that are part of their business, they're always... and. So in wireless, the way it's evolved and everything else, and people see that, being able to offer them solutions and work closely with these just really neat, fun-loving people, it's just an absolute blast. And so I work close, and I'm always providing, I try to, good solutions for them, or they're coming to me looking, hey, how do we solve this problem, or how do we fix this, or how can we make this better? And so you're working side by side with these people, and most of the time you're looking at them going, man, this guy is way sharper than me.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I get to work with them. So it's really cool.
And since you made that move from Seattle to Florida, about as far away as you can get, right?
Mm-hmm.
From Seattle.
Yeah.
And since you made that move, kind of starting over with your client base, you still have some clients that mm-hmm. that you have. And you can, just to be clear, you can help anyone anywhere in the country, right?
Anywhere in the country.
Yeah. And so you still can do that, but you are looking to obviously grow your clientele. What are some of your goals for the next, say, 1 to 3 years?
So over the next year, I want to add 40 new business clients.
Okay.
And in the next 2 to 3, let's say 3 years, I would like to 2.5 to 3 times. So max out at about 120 clients, because you got 120 business clients. And remember, some of those are going to be 5 lines and some of those are going to be 150 lines. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much all one person can handle.
I keep you busy.
Keep me very busy.
No doubt. So as we mentioned, you've been in B&I for a very long time. Your first B&I chapter was in Seattle, mm-hmm. right? And you got involved there. And there was a little situation, I guess, when you applied, there was another cellular sales individual that did apply.
Right.
Just to kind of emphasize the importance of, you know, with the membership committee and a chapter, making sure that you bring in the right fits for your chapter. What is it that happened, if you don't mind?
So actually, there was two of us. And at the time in Seattle, because everything was growing very fast in the wireless industry, there was a wireless person in every chapter. They were like mortgage brokers back then. And so there were two of us and put in the application, and I was turned down, and it was quite a contentious, because not blowing smoke at myself, but a bunch of them really wanted me, but the other guy won out.
Mm-hmm.
That other guy turned out to be a con artist, took a lot of people, and literally ended up in prison.
Wow.
So I ended up back after many years of about 7 years or so, I literally ended up back. They welcomed me with open arms back into the Kent chapter, who had originally rejected me.
Okay.
So, okay. And no fault on their own. They, you know, they were trying to do the best for the chapter. It was just one of those funny stories.
Right. Now, so what year did you first join a B&I chapter?
1997.
It was 97. That first year. So you've been involved in B&I for 22, going on 23 years then?
Yes. Yeah.
And I know I asked you this previously, obviously, it works.
It works.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
B&I works. I love, people will come to me all the time and going, is that B&I work? Is it any good? And I go, no, I'm just stupid. And I like to spend money on worthless endeavors.
That's right. 22 years worth, right?
Yeah, it works.
Yeah. Yeah. You immediately, when you moved here, you looked for some chapters, and you joined, really quickly right after you got here.
Right. Yeah. The Winning Edge was, I was super impressed with them. But the other interesting thing is that they were about the only chapter that didn't have a person, but, I'm not lucky. The Lord led me. He opened up that space for me, and put me in just a, phenomenal chapter. It's really, really good.
It really is. I concur with that. Absolutely. It's a great chapter. I'm very fortunate to be a member. Now, last meeting, you mentioned in particular the importance of one-to-ones. And again, since you have been involved in B&I for many years, you know, you have obviously years and years of experience with this. And you mentioned the importance of one-to-ones, why that's so important. Talk about that a little bit.
Without the one-to-one, so I've been a mentor many years, and even when people are when I'm not mentoring people, I've always told people that you don't make money at the meetings, you make money outside of the meetings. And what I mean by that is you make money by meeting the individuals and doing a one-to-one and really learning about that individual, about their business, how they work, so that when you are getting them a referral, when you're standing in front of that potential referral, you can look that individual in the eye and say, this is the guy or gal that you need to talk to because of this. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't done the one-to-ones, then you can't say that.
Mm-hmm.
And I never have a problem getting a referral because they can see the conviction in my eyes and in my voice because I've done my due diligence and I know that person and I'm very comfortable making sure that that person's going to be able to help the referral.
And you mentioned last meeting as well that the one-to-ones that you did turn into referrals, mm-hmm. that you were able to pass as a result of those one-to-ones. There was somebody that does a podcast locally and he mentioned one time, and I thought it was an interesting statement. He said, just depending upon, you know, the business and how busy he is or not so busy he is, through doing the one-to-ones, he can kind of turn the tap on a little bit or kind of slow it down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Would you find that to be true over the 22 years that you've been in, that, you know, if there are times when you really need more referrals, get out there, do more one-to-ones, and that generally tends to do that? Or
The one-to-ones help, so that turns on the tap a little bit. But the other thing I've done, too, so the one-to-ones, but hopefully I've already done all the one-to-ones, so mm-hmm. I've got the basis.
Yeah.
And there's been times when I'm not bringing in the amount of referrals. And so then what I'll do is put together, before I go see a client, I'll put together a list. Okay, what does that client need? And then I'll look at my chapter and I'll go, okay, we've got this, 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 and this. And I'll literally go into that client. And before we sit down to discuss whatever it is, I'll go, hey, I know you're in this industry. Do you need a sign guy? How's your printing coming? And I will always get a referral that way. But if I haven't done the one-to-ones,
right,
then I don't know the basis. So I can't think through, okay, these are the guys in my chapter, and what will benefit this client I'm going to see. So hopefully I've already done the one-to-one so that I can then work with my client to make sure that I'm getting, that I can really think through what are going to be the good potential referrals for this client.
Right.
Or the good chapter members.
So just one thing, you know, ideally, right, everyone in the chapter is doing exactly what you just mentioned, being very proactive, right, about their referral partners and trying to make sure that that we can pass referrals to one another. But additionally, that makes you, right, as the personal representative for this client of yours, it helps you to be a better sell your sales individual, right?
Oh, the serendipity of that is not the money, but going back again to love working with those small business owners, and when you can provide them or your neighbor, it doesn't have to be a business owner.
Yeah,
I've really helped a couple of neighbors out. I haven't, but I've moved them in the right direction. Being able to work with a client and come up with a solution that, you know, isn't a cell phone that, hey, I need to get a sign out front, or my printer just disappeared, or, you know, we need new jackets for our guys with logos.
Yeah.
It's really neat to be able to offer them solutions. And I've got long-term clients that proactively come to me. Hey, George, we know you're connected. Mm-hmm. We're looking for this. Have you got someone for us?
Yep. So it helps even with retention of your clients, right?
Absolutely.
As well. Now, in particular, who are your clients? Who are the, you know, you mentioned, you know, small businesses. Who are your ideal clients? I guess it is those small business owners.
The ideal client are those small business owners. Anybody that, you know, has got anywhere from two employees to 200 employees and even more for that matter. Mm-hmm. So, those small, and they might need 5 cell phones and 3 tablets, or they might need 100 cell phones and 200 tablets. So the whole gambit from very small to medium size.
And you've mentioned a few times as far as businesses with fleets, right, of vehicles.
Yep.
Why is that helpful? Why can you help those individuals, I should say?
Because the whole world has become, which we all know, internet wireless based. Mm-hmm. So if you've got a fleet out there, that means your guys are collecting credit cards, they're doing time cards, and unfortunately you've got good and bad people in any organization. So also knowing where those trucks are, where you can save time, where you can create money. That truck is expensive to keep out on the road, so if you can increase its efficiency, there's just a multitude of things that you can do with those fleet services that will really help the company and reduce their liability. Even something you can do right now and have been able to do for a number of years, if you've got a tracking device on that van, and that van, let's say, is in an accident, and the person says, oh, that guy was speeding, I can literally go back, if we've got a tracking program, and see at 2 o'clock in the afternoon how fast that truck was going on Wednesday the 21st.
Yeah.
And so you can actually, as you as an attorney, I can take that information legally into court and show that, hey, my guy was not speeding. And as a matter of fact, here's where he's been for the last week, and he never speeds.
Right. Yeah, okay. That's good. Yep. Absolutely. How there's a small business owner out there that's looking to get a hold of you. I said, you know, I think George Daniels can help me out. Mm-hmm. How do they get a hold of you?
Best way is my cell phone, which is area code 813-833-4395, which is also ability to text. Okay. Or they can send me an email, which is george.daniels@cellularsales.com.
All right. And when is the best time to get a hold of you?
Like I tell people, from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m., 6 days a week.
Okay. So you're available the vast majority of the time.
Yes, my wife gets mad at me, but I'm there for you.
And as a testimonial to George, I can tell you that they're back in December. My wife and I and we were looking for some new phones, and we got a watch, and he actually came to us and made the time available to get here into the office. Came multiple times, make sure that we got all of our contacts and all of our information switched from one to the other. That was not an easy process. I couldn't have done it on my own, and George did everything he needed to do to make sure that I got there. So I absolutely strongly recommend George and his services for sure. And then if any of our membership, the Winning Edge, we're out there, we're talking to our clients, talking to customers of ours, what are some triggers that we might could listen for to say, you know what, I think George can help you?
So if they're not happy with their service, and when I say not happy with the service, either the service part of the cell phone where, hey, they're dropping calls, things aren't working out for them, they don't have good internet connectivity to their tablets or what have you, or not happy with the service because they called customer care and didn't get anything resolved and they're trying to get it resolved, or not happy with their current carrier, maybe they're with AT&T or Sprint or T-Mobile, and it's just not working out, and they want to make a change.
Okay.
So basically, disgruntled from any level or not. And I don't have to sell someone a cell phone or a product. I'm more than happy to help them out. So first, build the relationship, help that individual with whatever problem they've got, get it fixed. Once you build the relationship, the money will come.
And then as a veterans law attorney, I like to ask when I get these opportunities if you offer any discounts for veterans in particular.
Verizon does. So we've got discounts for business clients, and we have discounts for consumer clients.
Okay. Well, what I want to do here for the next a few minutes, just I got a few questions for you, rapid-fire questions, just to kind of wrap up this episode, all right?
Okay.
So first, what is the best book that you have ever read? Could be business, network, otherwise.
How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Okay.
Should read that at least once a year.
That's Carnegie, right?
Dale Carnegie.
All right. And then what is the most important networking trait in your opinion? You've been doing this for a little while, so what's the most important networking trait?
Always ask for the referral.
Talk about that. What do you mean by that?
Find out what the person's needs are and then say, you know, hey, do you need a new printer? Do you need somebody to help you with your kitchen? Hey, you're talking about building a new home. I've got someone for you. Don't sit there and wait for them to come to you.
Yeah.
Go to them. And if you know your client's business, then you know what his needs are. And if you know what his needs are, you know who in the chapter can help him fulfill those needs.
And you got into BNI and the networking, you know, referral networking, referral marketing, pretty early on in the cellular sales side of it for the last 22 years. But if you even go back even further than that, what's one networking secret you wish maybe you had known earlier in your life?
Yeah. Okay, that's the one answer I didn't.
That's all right. That's all right. Let me ask you a different.
I guess the truth of networking. I run into enough people. I won't say a lot of people. I run into enough people. They ask you a question. They're not really interested in the answer. They're just looking for an opening so they can tell you all about themselves.
Oh, okay.
And we all know those people.
Yeah.
So to truly care about people,
yeah,
really want to know about people, what their interests are, what their likes, what their dislikes, where they hurt, where they're happy. And if you really listen, truly, and when I say listen, that means to...
Not just hear them, but listen to them.
To listen to them. Then you'll always be able to find referrals.
Yeah, and you mentioned, you know, truly caring about people. You know, one of the things I love about BNI is the idea of giver's gain, right? Mm-hmm. So you're truly looking out for others. You're trying to help others get where they want to go. So you're saying if you do that, networking will really be easy. Right?
Exactly.
Yeah. People want to help those who help them, right?
Exactly.
All right. What about a business tip? What's a business tip you wish you had known maybe a little sooner?
For years, I worked with a large group of business people that were very, very successful. And let me always qualify the word successful, because successful to most people means, oh, you got lots of money. To me, if you have lots of money, but you're with your fourth wife, then you're not successful.
I got you.
So the business people that I worked with were extremely successful. They were on their same marriage, good families, kids, everything was together. But at the same time, also, they had successful businesses. And it was a mindset, a group of gentlemen. And whenever we would get together, they would always say, we got a meeting Sunday morning, and that's the true secret to success. If you want to know what our secret of success is, come Sunday morning. And so we went one time at one of the seminars, and we went Sunday morning and found out the true secret to success is to accept Jesus Christ and let him guide and lead your life. And if he's your guide and your mentor and you're listening to him, then everything else will fall into place. Yep. That is the true secret to success.
Yeah, no, that's great, man. I appreciate that. And then finally, what is the most profound piece of advice that you've ever been given?
Secret to success is show up on Sunday morning.
Yeah, gotcha.
It literally was. They spent all weekend teaching you this and this and this and this. And they said, now, if you want to know what the real secret and why we're successful, come Sunday morning.
I got you. Well, George, I really appreciate you joining us for this episode of the Winning Edge podcast.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chris.
Thanks so much,
I appreciate
man.
It a lot.
All right.
Thanks for listening to the Winning Edge podcast. Please be sure to check out the show notes for contact information for each of our guests, links to their websites, and links to more information about the topics discussed in this episode. Until next week, happy networking!